everyone. Is everyone having a blessed day?
Amen.
Let's turn to page 369 in the Believer's Songbook and sing "I'll Fly Away." Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. Stand to your feet as Brother Jeremiah comes up for prayer requests.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Brother Wade says, June and I will be leaving tomorrow for Myrtle Beach to be with Brother Claus and Sister Ginger, traveling Mercy. Is that all? Tony Templeton is back in the hospital. He will be put in hospice very soon in the manifestation of his healing until it just stops there. I don't know what that means. Sister Barbara is sick, and Sister Rebecca Atkins is sick. And if anyone else has unspoken needs, just lift your hand to the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for putting your hand on each and every one of these needs, Lord. And we trust that you'll keep all these ones in good hands. Please bless the service today, Lord, and everyone's trip back home. We thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Let's turn to page 164 and sing "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot." I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming forth to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Coming forth to carry me home. So coming for to carry me home. Now let's sing Fill My Cup on page 272 as Sister Rachel's Sunday School Choir prepares to sing. Now let's stand to our feet and make a joyful noise as we sing God's Not Dead on page 270. God's not dead, He is alive. God's not dead, He is alive. God's not dead, He is alive. I feel Him in my hands, I feel Him in my feet, I feel Him in my heart, I feel Him all over me. God's not dead. Let's sing When We All Get to Heaven on page 166 as Michael comes up for prayer requests. Oh, not prayer requests, offering.
Dear Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you. The message this morning, Lord, and just bring it again this evening, Lord, and pray for Brother Matthew as he's preaching, Lord, and pray for the needs, Lord, and those who aren't able to be here, Lord, and just thank you for all things, Lord. And just thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence, Lord, and give back to you, Lord, and thank you for all things, Lord. In your precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. We all get to heaven. What a day. let's change the order of the service as we sing Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See.
Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord Jesus. Ooh. Oh, I'm so glad for Jesus. Amen. I'm glad that he's been made real in my life. Amen. I was sharing with Brother Wade last night. I said, I really am thankful to God that I met Jesus before I got indoctrinated with the message. Amen. Amen. I met the Lord Jesus in the power of his resurrection. And he taught me who Brother Branham was.
Right.
And he taught me how important the message was.
Right.
And he began to reveal to me the things out from the spoken word.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to invite your attention this afternoon in Luke chapter 12. Praise God. Really appreciated that scripture reading this morning that y'all had. And I hope the word of the Lord was a blessing to your heart this morning.
Amen.
Praise God. I really do believe we're in a bright age.
Amen.
I believe we're in an age of the spiritual womb. Brother Branham said that the body started from the feet and went up to the head. The Pentecostals had the tongues and the prophet was the seer. And Brother Branham mentioned the intelligence coming down. Amen. And pick up your pen and write. Brother Branham said the word, or the Holy Spirit said through the prophet, the word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. So the true bride has the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Going to read two passages and have a word of prayer. Luke chapter 12, verse 51 and 52. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but I'm kind of in Bible numerics, numerology a little bit. Brother Branham said the Bible mathematics is perfect.
Amen.
When you see patterns and themes, it's undeniable. And the Lord Jesus is perfect. Amen.
Amen.
So you heard Brother Branham talking about them keys in that tape service this morning. Earlier, the keys, the key of faith. Amen. So, verse 51, 52. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. Verse 52. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. Let's pray. Blessed Father God, as we come to this part of the afternoon service, Lord, we just ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit would come. Rest, O Lord, in our hearts in such a mighty and special way. Lord Jesus, we need to hear your voice. We need to receive the perception that is divine, a conception, God, by your Holy Spirit and Word. And I ask, Father, for each and every individual to be so blessed and so caught up, Lord, and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that each and every individual will recognize where they're walking, that each and every one of us, God, will be so conscious, Lord, of what you're saying, how you are moving, what you want us to do, how you want us to fulfill your pleasure in this day. God, we just not only pray for the saints here, but worldwide, your precious bride that's been called out and separated. And how your prophet taught us how to rightly divide the word. And now today, since the seals are open, we see a bride out from a church. Just like you sent your Exodus prophet so many years ago, God, to bring Israel out of Egypt. A nation out of a nation. Now we see a bride out from the church world, Lord. And you're getting ready to glorify her and take her off the earth, Father. And we want to be made ready. We want to be seeing ourselves in that reality. The quickening and the imparting of Christ himself into us. Through Jesus Christ's name, we pray and ask your blessings over the hearing and the speaking of your word today in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 God bless you and have your seats. So, this passage is like all the other passages in the Bible. It's the truth. We made a point today about how the six seals don't really cause a whole lot of controversy among message folk. It's always the seventh seal that seems to be the point of contention. And if you notice what Jesus is saying here, suppose ye that I am come. And the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. So he says, I am come not to bring peace, but division. So out of all seven seals, which seal caused the most division? It's the seventh seal. Because the seventh seal is the mystery of his coming. It's the secret of his coming. Is that right? When Brother Branham preached the rapture message, he took us to St. John chapter 11. And Brother Branham showed us shout and voice right there in chapter 11. That's right. So if you can see shout, that's Jesus coming to Mary and Martha. That's Jesus Christ uniting with the living. And then he went to the tomb of Lazarus, and Brother Branham taught us the voice of the resurrection spoke and raised Lazarus. Is that right? But Jesus came to Mary and Martha first. How many remember the date the cloud appeared in the Arizona sky? February 28th. And in St. John 11, verse 28, Martha went to Mary and said, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Is that right? So the Master came, united with Mary and Martha, then called Lazarus from the grave. Then in chapter 12, you see Jesus sitting at a table, a feast, with the one that was raised from the dead, Lazarus, and then the one that was living, Mary and Martha. You got shout, voice, and trump. That's where Brother Branham showed us. Shout, voice, and trump in St. John chapter 11. So everything that we're into now has been foreshadowed in the Bible. This move of God in the last days, the calling out of a bride, the bride being taken to the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's all right in here in this Bible. Amen. Is that right? Amen. So it's important when you hear the prophet speak something, right? Amen. That spoken word unlocks and opens the mystery in the scripture. Amen. Have to take the Bible, have to take the word or the message back to the Bible. Right. Is that right? Amen. So in Luke 12:51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? Nay, but division. So we see a lot of division, don't we? But in spite of all that division, we see Christ uniting with an elected bride. One great thing that was brought to my attention in these last several months, Brother Wade, is how that in the book of Ruth, when you open it up, the very first verse tells you the setting in which Ruth, the story of Ruth has taken place. It says in the days of Judges. Right? The days of Judges is after the days of Joshua. And in the days of the Judges is when every man did what was right in his own eyes. And in spite of all that static, and in spite of all that confusion in Israel, there was a Gentile bride coming into marriage union with Boaz. Now I don't know about you, that encourages my heart. Because the main thing is your marriage union with Christ. That's right, because there's going to be false ministers. There's going to be false believers. The true bride of Christ is always counterfeited. There is a false bride, and there is a true bride. There is a false ministry, but there is a true ministry. Spirit-filled, born-again sons of God, anointed to speak the word in this hour. Because in Revelation chapter 10, 8 to 11, John represents the bride. Is that right? And the Lord told John, the bride, thou must prophesy again. But he wasn't fit to prophesy until after he ate the book. Huh? Got to take the prophet's message back to the Bible to get a real revelation. Where do you think Brother Branham got his message from? Right out of the Bible. And Brother Branham told us, when you're sitting in the cool of your room listening to a tape, and when you hear something strike, turn the tape off and go get the scripture. That's a quote. You hear press play all the time. There's one Brother Branham says, turn the tape off and go get the scripture. Huh? Got to take the prophet's message back to the Bible. If your doctrine doesn't line up with written word and spoken word, I think you need to get rid of it. If you can't take your idea of what you think Brother Branham is saying and show it from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, I don't really care for it too much. That's right. Because when you see the prophet's message in the Bible, you are a blessed person. Very blessed. If you just try to take the message on its own, you're doing wrong. Say, Brother Branham said it, I believe it. Brother Branham told you to dig in that word. Brother Branham told us basically in different ways to take the message back to the Bible. Check me. Check the Bible. Check me if I'm in the scripture or not. Is that right? So we're very happy in this hour. Our little church there in Mobile, the sweet Lord Jesus has been so faithful to us to guide us. We listen to tapes. We study the prophet's message, but he allows us to make discoveries in that Bible. Amen. We have found places in the Word that speaking directly to us. Amen. We have found our identification in the Bible. We found our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. We see ourselves in a plan of redemption. Amen. And this is what bringing faith for translation. Amen. 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 And we like to fellowship around it too. Amen. We like to talk to ministers. We like to talk to believers. We like to talk to the housewife. We like to talk to the mailman. Amen. About these great revelations that God has brought by a vindicated prophet. And now it's moving in an end time bride, making her ready and prepared for a rapture. Amen. So I want you to notice in verse 52, for from henceforth there shall be five in one house. Right? Three against two and two against three. Amen. I want to share with you something the Lord was dealing with me about, because I was meditating in some of the things that I was noticing about translation, the rapture, changing dimensions. And I was noticing, Brother Wade, the number 51. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and told me to look up the first verse in the whole Bible that's verse number 51. So I went from Genesis 1, went all the way and found it in Genesis 24. Genesis chapter 24 is the longest chapter in the whole book of Genesis. That's the chapter Abraham sent Eliezer to go call Rebekah for Isaac. Verse 51, the first verse in the Bible numbered 51 says, behold, Rebekah is before thee, take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. So I want to show you today this principle of how the bride is a separated people. The true bride of Christ and this principle of separation and how it's associated with the number 51. The number 51 is 17 times 3. You notice number 17 is a powerful number in Brother Branham's ministry and Brother Branham's life. When Brother Branham had that hunting accident, he was shot in the back of the legs. The doctor said, your heart's only beating 17 times a minute. When he went to India, he had 17 different religions resisting him, right? When Sister Hope was on her deathbed, she told Brother Branham about a rifle that she had been secretly hiding money to save up to buy him that rifle. That rifle was only $17, right? And then when Brother Branham was baptized in the Ohio River and the pillar fire came down, what number person was he baptizing when the pillar fire came? Amen. The 17th person. So in the Bible, the first time that Elijah is ever mentioned in the whole Bible is 1 Kings chapter 17, right? So in Luke chapter 1 verse 17, it says, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, speaking of John the Baptist. St. James 5:17 says, Elijah is a man of like passions as we are. So the number 17 being connected with Elijah, and Elijah being connected with the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, but we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Is that right? So the number 17 is associated with the vindication of a prophet. And the fulfillment of prophecy. Amen. And the rapture, the translation of the bride, is definitely a fulfillment of prophecy. Amen. Because we are told and we are taught that our bodies are going to be changed into atoms. And we're going to go from time into eternity. And this great thing has been foreshadowed down through the Bible. And I like to meditate in those things, don't you? Because those are the things that's speaking of the end time bride. That's right. Think about it, friends. Even our precious brother Branham has been taken over on the other side. He's got to come back in the resurrection and then go back home. There's an end time bride that's been left here that don't go home by way of the grave. She goes home and straight to heaven in a body change. Is that right? In the message spoken, souls that are in prison now, Brother Branham taught us, people don't have to die to go to hell. They're in hell right now. Hell's being created on earth. Well, just as it is on that side, so is it for the divine side. There's people here that don't have to die to go to heaven. Your soul's already translated over there. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're living in the age where full redemption is revealed. Full redemption is your body change. Are you in that channel? Can you see it unfolding in your life? Oh, I hope so. So the Lord's dealing me about this, and I'm saying, man, look at all these things in the Bible here. Because the bride being separated is a big deal. Isn't that not a big deal to you? Because in the church ages, there was churches, brides, right? And everybody was a Christian. Everybody in church was, praise God, hallelujah. And then finally, when a prophet comes, there's a distinction made. Like whenever Israel was down in Egypt, you know, you really couldn't see a whole lot. You know, there was Hebrews and there was Egyptians and they was just all mixed in there. But when Moses came, all of a sudden there's a difference being made. A separation was coming. So we're going to deal with this principle of separation. Okay. Because we all know when the bride's taken off the earth, that's a pretty mighty separation, wouldn't you say? When you're changed from mortal to immortality, you're separated. How many know the precious blood of Jesus separates you from your sins? Is that right? Have you been separated out? Are you distinct? Are you distinct? Are you separated unto Christ? Now that's an important point, because not only are we separated, but we got to be separated unto something. We're not separated unto a church. We're not separated unto a flesh and blood man. We're not feeding on a man. We're feeding on the body word of the Son of Man. We've been separated, and our diet is reflecting the fact that we're a separated people. Amen. Like the priest could only eat certain food because he's separated for a work, for a purpose. So the entire bride is a separated people, and her diet reflects that. Amen. So, behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go. And let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. Amen. What a message. Amen. I say the bride is before us. Let her go. Amen. Let her go be united in the marriage supper. Amen. Amen. Let the word unite with the word now. Amen. Is that right? So I'm meditating along these lines, and I'm thinking, look at this here now. This passage in 52. From henceforth there shall be five in one house divided. When you read the story there in Genesis 24, you find out that Eleazar is going to the house of Rebekah. And he's in the house explaining to them that his master Abraham sent him. And Brother Branham talks about it. You can read it in the Word. There was Laban, Bethuel, Rebekah's mother, Rebekah, and Eleazar. That's five. Right? Well, Eleazar was there to pull Rebekah out. So there's two against three and three against two. And when Eleazar come to that house, he separated Rebekah from her own house. Is that right? Doesn't the message separate people? Doesn't even the revelation separate Abel from Cain? It's something, isn't it? Now when you start letting the Holy Spirit lead you down this path, it is enormous. It's massive, the fact that the bride is a separated people. What is it that distinguishes her and separates her? It's really the revelation of the word. Right? So, I got curious. Now, if I see the first 51 in the Bible and that sets a precedent to something, what's the last 51 in the Bible? I said, Lord, you got me going here. So I looked up the last 51 in the Bible. It's 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So I put that verse with that verse, and I'm seeing something. Amen. Doesn't Brother Branham teach us that all scripture dovetails with scripture? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Amen.
Now, the part where it says we shall not all sleep, that's the end time bride.
Amen.
That's the ones that are living.
Amen.
This verse 51 is speaking of those that are alive and remain. Those that are alive and remain is 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Right? But this verse 51 and the first verse 51 is all connected to the end time bride being called out, separated, and taken.
Amen.
Right? You ready to get into it?
Amen.
All right. I try to go slow because I don't want to preach over it. I want you to conceive. This is the age of conception.
Amen.
Amen. So this is an awesome thing because the Lord don't never change. Amen. The scripture in Ecclesiastes I'd like to share with you real fast. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. You all are familiar with this, I'm sure, but he says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now.
Amen.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
That which has been is now, and that which is to be hath already been.
Amen.
Hasn't there, when Brother Branham preached the rapture message, didn't he show us there were already raptures? Don't they represent the rapture we're into now? Sure, they prefigure, they foreshadow. So, friends, I'm just trying to get you to understand how important it is to meditate, dwell in these things, watch the Word, keep your eyes on the Word. There's a quote where Brother Branham says, don't keep your eyes on the messenger, but keep your eyes on the message. Watch the Word. Be conscious of what is unfolding through the Word. There is a message to comprehend. There's something to actually conceive by. And that is Christ's virtues coming into you to represent himself in flesh. The Lord Jesus is not without a body today. He has mortal flesh that he's veiled in. And it's a bride.
Amen.
Amen. So it's important you don't allow church and church politics and debate and fuss and division to really distract you from receiving impartation of revelation from Christ. Because when people get their feelings hurt, coldness and indifference come. Young people struggle over what it's all about, and there's so much division. You know, and young people I've spoken with, you know, are just, you know, I don't want to get into it so much, but, you know, young people get to a certain age, they start looking for spouses, and they really got to trust the Lord for the right kind of spouse. And some young people amongst us are really looking for spiritual people to marry. I mean, they really don't want to just marry just anybody. And it's getting harder and harder to find young people that are really sold out to Jesus. Because Brother Branham taught us that we, before we even get married, we should really have the Holy Ghost. So it's a very, very serious issue to make sure that when you're involved with somebody, is that somebody truly sold out to Christ? Is their soul in fellowship with Christ? Because there's many people that profess to believe the message now. The message has been here for decades, and the message has spread around the world, and we got all kinds of professors in the message. But Brother Branham said there's professors without a possession. So there's a difference between being a message professor than a message possessor. That's right. Your true possession is Christ. Jesus. That imparts his own life into you. Not just a doctrine up here, but a life in here. Do you understand? That's the reality. So if you get Christ in here, he illuminates the mind to the doctrine. But the doctrine is tied by water. But revelation is tied by wine. And it takes Jesus to turn that water into wine. It's good to have doctrine. Brother Branham said every church has doctrine. A church without a doctrine is like a fish without a backbone. But the doctrine has to become wine. The water has to become wine. Your doctrine should be stimulating. That's right. Is that right? So I'm going on through here, finding all kinds of things, and it's really fascinating to see. And we'll just go over some scriptures today so you can see some continuity and some interesting aspects of this principle of separation. Division or dividing, okay? And I would like for the brothers to bring up on the screen my quote from the seventh seal that I was going to share today on this. I'm going to try to hit two things at once. If you look at this verse right here from the seventh seal, I want to deal with this. Again, it's, you know, about numbers, but Brother Branham mentions it, so we're going to deal with it. There's been a threefold purpose in all these things, right? Very, very profound. You got the white horse, the red horse, and the black horse. That's a threefold purpose. But it all mixes together in the fourth horse. Is that right? You got justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it all goes together to make adoption. Placed sons and daughters of God. You got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is that it? No, you got Joseph, perfection. Joseph is a perfect type of adoption, being placed. Right? So we're in adoption age right now. Brother Branham said this is the age of adoption. But it takes justification, sanctification, baptism, and Holy Ghost before you can recognize your true position in Christ. Is that right? So it all goes together. A threefold purpose, and Brother Branham said, all these things. Your soul, spirit, and body. Is that right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, we can just exhaust the point. Right? So that brings us back to a three. Wasn't Brother Branham's ministry three pools? Okay. And a seven again. Oh, he had three pools and seven mysteries to teach and preach and reveal. Right? That brings us back to a three and a seven again. See? Seven seals, seven vials, and so forth. Now, in threes and sevens is God's number in his mathematics of revealing his word. Just pause a minute, think. This is why I pointed to meditate in the message. I want to go too fast. Just relax. What he said. God's mathematics of revealing his word is threes and sevens. Well, check this out, brothers and sisters. In the third month in 1963, Brother Branham preached the seals. Guess what day he started preaching them on? March 17th. Right? Revelations 10:7. The message is perfect with the Bible. That's all I want to demonstrate here today. The message must be taken back to the Bible. You weave it back and forth. Even our precious brother Billy Paul teaches us that it's like the front sight and a rear sight of a rifle. You got to line them up. And if you don't line them up, you'll never be accurate. So don't just give me a quote. Let's take the message back to the Bible. Let's see the continuity of the word from Genesis to Revelation. Amen? Because that's where real faith is going to come from. Taking the spoken word with the written word. All right. I think you agree with that. Oh, praise the Lord. So let's just look at this now. Brother Branham's given us a key. You just heard that was so perfect when you played that part of the message. It's a key. This spoken word right here is a key. God's mathematics of revealing his word is threes and sevens. Right? March is the third month of the year. He preaches the seven seals in March. In July 1963, he preaches Christ, the mystery of God revealed. What does he teach us in that sermon? The whole Bible is a threefold purpose. Threefold purpose in the seventh month, seven seals in the third month. I could just beat you to death with this stuff. It's just over and over. It's because the message is perfect. Right? So he's preaching the seven seals, right? By revelation. He's bringing us the seven seals, right? If you look at the format of the sermons, there's actually seven seals, but he adds three sermons to it. God, High, and Simplicity, the Breach, and Questions and Answers. And God's mathematics of revealing his word is threes and sevens. Right? William Marion Branham is three names with seven letters. In Book of Revelations chapter 3, Brother Branham is the seventh church age messenger. But over in Revelations 14, he's the third angel. Is that right, Brother Dale? So he's connected with the number seven and the number three. Right? So whenever you go and you look at these things, and this is just one quote of the prophet, you can spend like a lot of time just digesting that one statement. And people think they're just doing so much. Listen over and over and over again. Listen one tape after another. It's not about how much you listen. It's what you're getting out of it when you do. Just this one statement. Right? God's mathematics of revealing his word is threes and sevens. Now, did you hear Brother Branham taught us this Bible is a seven-sealed book. And it has a threefold purpose. So when the seventh seal is opened, Brother Branham said the seventh seal is a threefold purpose. So when the seventh seal opens, it shows you three folds of a mystery that God had in the back part of his mind. The reason why that's so good is because it's easy for you to understand. Three. One, two, three. Seven. When you get that so simplified and understood, you can study the message in the Bible. You can look for those places. Every time the Bible mentions the number seven, watch close. Most likely it's going to refer to something like, in type, the seven church ages. Like in the message called Desperation, Brother Branham took his text in Jeremiah. And he said where Jeremiah, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah, said you'll be in captivity 70 years. But at 70 years end, I'll bring you back into this land. Brother Branham says, see, back to Pentecost. It doesn't say that, but that's what I mean to the church. Brother Branham was using the 70-year captivity to type the seven church ages. So when you see that, That's right. So when you see that, you find out, now what books of the Bible are part of the history after the captivity? You start seeing Ezra, Nehemiah. Those are restoration books. You people are featured in the book of Ezra and in the book of Nehemiah. Read Nehemiah chapter 8. There you are. Amen. Observing the word in a very distinct way during the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. In Nehemiah chapter 8, mind you. Amen. That's supposed to mean something to message folk. Because those are restoration books. And we've been a restored people back to the faith. Is that right? So whenever the big deal's going on with Ezra and Nehemiah, what is the big deal there? They bring out the book of registry and they start checking people's names. And there was a whole group of people that did not even qualify for the ministry because they couldn't find their names in the book. Amen. The reason why they couldn't find their names in the book is because of a false union. They married into a family, took their name instead of staying with their Hebrew name, and they couldn't be found in the book. Now doesn't somebody descend out of heaven in these last days with a book in his hand and he's calling names out of that book? That's the important thing, is to hear your name called from this book right here. It's by faith, it's by revelation, and it's spiritual. You don't hear a loud voice in your ear, you hear it from your heart. Amen? So God's mathematics of revealing his word is threes and sevens. Remember what Brother Branham taught us where the seals are in written form? Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, Brother Branham was showing us the disciples came to Jesus. How many questions did they ask? Three questions. How many seals did Brother Branham did the Lord Jesus unfold in that chapter? Right, that's right. A lot of people only see six seals in Matthew 24. You better look a little closer. And at the end of the chapter, what is going on? Jesus said there'll be two in the bed. One shall be taken and the other left. What did Genesis 24:51 say? Behold, Rebecca is before thee, take her and go. Yeah. And in Matthew 24, one shall be taken and the other left. Yeah. Two will be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Right? Amen. Two people in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. And you go down to that very last part of that chapter. Guess how many verses are in Matthew chapter 24? 51. Right? Notice, Matthew chapter 24 is the seven seals. One shall be taken and the other left, right? Where did I take you to in Genesis? Genesis 24, the bride being taken out, the seventh seal. Right? So is that simple enough for you? Do you see the continuity of it and how the message in the Bible is perfect with one another? And when you get into those things, you really start seeing things more and more unfold. I mean, it's an eternal word, so it just keeps unfolding. Because God had this in his mind before the foundation of the world. He had it placed in the Bible through types and allegory and prophetic continuity of the word. So what is such a glorious deal is to see yourself in that pattern. And that's where real faith is. Because the Lord Jesus knew what was written of him. And Brother Branham was definitely sure what was written of him. The glorious thing about the prophet is whenever he told Mita, he said, Mita, honey, I'm going in them woods and I ain't coming out till the Lord takes this thing away from me. So when he goes to his place and he's waiting, he says, 1 o'clock came, 2 o'clock came, 3 o'clock came, then the light came in the room. And the angel says, do not fear, I've come from the presence of the Lord to tell you about your misunderstood life. But what did the angel do? He referred to Brother Branham many places in the Bible. The angel opened the scripture to Brother Branham. Just like Gabriel opened the scripture to Daniel. Brother Branham even said, and he referred to me many other scriptures. So when Brother Branham saw it in the scripture, it changed everything. The preachers was telling him, oh, that's of the devil. Right? He said, oh, Brother McKinney, pray for me. I don't want to be a devil. But when he actually seen it in the word, because the angel said the ministry called it Beelzebub then, they do it now. Because they just didn't understand. And Brother Branham didn't understand. But when the angel came, angel visitation, opening the word. Right? Seven angels coming to Brother Branham and then the word opens. Amen? That's right. So an angel came to Brother Branham to show him his life in the word. And Brother Branham is our angel to this age to show us our lives in the word. Do you take the message that way? Do you understand that that's the purpose? It's for you to become conscious of what's written of you so you can be an overcomer in these last days. That's what this is all about. To bring about a people who can overcome this Satan's Eden. And I'm telling you, you can't overcome unless you see yourself in this plan of redemption. Personally. Personally. Not groups, not others, not churches, not people, not the prophet. You. Personally. Do you understand? Is that preaching? That's right. That's the way it's supposed to be. So Matthew chapter 24 is 51 verses. Right? Well, when the seals are recorded in symbol form in Revelation chapter 6, there's 17 verses in that chapter, right? 51 verses in Matthew 24. So when you see those people being taken out, that's the seventh seal. That's the bride going. Amen? So it's really a marvelous thing to see the victory and the achievement of Christ in an end time bride. We know the bride's scattered around the world and she's from every nation. You'll never really get to see the bride until the resurrection. Because you see churches and you see message folk, but there's the bride mixed in with all that. That's the truth. Right? The thing of it is, Brother Branham said it over and over and over again, but somehow, Brother Dale, people just don't seem to really get with it. He deals with Israel as a nation. He deals with Gentiles as individuals. So it is your individual responsibility to make your calling and election sure. To work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You cannot be a Christian by mere association. No way, no how, no shape, form, or fashion. No mere association. You must know Jesus Christ personally. That's right. Because you know that thing is still amongst us so strong in people. They like to be identified with this clique, that clique. Sectarianism is just alive and well in the message today like it ever was. Sectarianism. Division. Because people want to be identified with this. Or they're identified with that. What about just being identified with Jesus? Huh? What did Brother Brown tell the denominational people? Get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, come to know Jesus Christ, then go to any church you want to. Huh? Is that right? What are Christians supposed to be? Rugged. Rugged believers. Not hotbed plants. Huh? I'm not afraid to fellowship with anybody in this message. I sit down and eat a ham cheese sandwich with tape only. I sit down and eat a ham and cheese sandwich with preachers. That's right, because if you don't know Jesus, you don't know much anyway. You have to know him personally. Personal Jesus. Not the doctrine in your head, but the life in your heart. Is that right? Just preaching a little bit. All right. Now, what form is Christ in today? He's in the form of a bride. Where has the word gone? It was veiled in a prophet. The one man ministry was fulfilled in Brother Branham. That's right. There is no other prophet in no other capacity but Brother Branham. forget it.
Yeah.
Unless you got a scripture, then we can start talking.
Right.
But if you don't, forget it.
Yeah.
Brother Branham was the last one-man ministry.
Right.
Now you're talking about a bride.
Amen.
Being called out from all the nations.
Right.
Otherwise, why have we translated his message in all the known tongues and sent around the world? But to call an end-time people.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus said, except a corn of wheat dies, it abides alone.
Right.
But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit.
Amen.
So the whole point of the Son of Man is to spread his life out and multiply it. Right? So all that life was veiled behind the prophet. But through the spoken word, he's multiplied his life.
Amen.
In a multi-membered body.
Amen.
And in that body, there's people anointed. That's right. Oh my. There's actually people anointed to understand the message. There's people anointed, amen, to live the message. There's people that are anointed of Christ to become written epistles of the prophet's message. That's right. The greatest honor you can ever give the prophet is live his message out. Let the message live itself out through you. That's right. Is that the truth? Praise the Lord. So the message in the Bible got to be put together. That's how we check preachers out. That's how we check churches out. That's how we check everything out. If you don't spend time with Jesus, sitting at the feet of Jesus, right, whenever he came to Mary Martha's house, and Martha was all busy and cumbered about, and Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are busy and cumbered about many things, but Mary has chosen that one thing needful, to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear the precious words. Do you spend time with Jesus? Amen. I'm talking about prayer and reading your word. Right? And I'm talking about the hearing of the recorded sermons of a vindicated prophet. I'm talking about the fruitfulness of hearing. Not the religiosity of hearing, but the fruitfulness. Coming to a revelation of faith through the spoken word. There's a difference, you know. Because when the Lord Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Most all of them thought he was talking about the temple there that Herod remodeled. But the Bible says he's talking about the temple of his body.
Amen.
They heard exactly what he said,
Amen.
But they didn't know what he meant.
Amen.
So if they did it with Jesus, don't you think they'd do it with Brother Branham?
Amen.
If they heard what Jesus said and then quoted him verbatim and was wrong. You know those men quoted Jesus. We heard this man say, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. They quote exactly what he said, Brother Mike. But they was wrong as the day is long. Because they didn't know what he meant. Be careful. Jesus told his disciples, be careful how you hear. Is that right? Pray for a revelation. Pray for the Holy Ghost. Is that right? So go with me to Joshua chapter 18. Joshua chapter 18, right? Brother Branham said Joshua is the Ephesian. We're in the Ephesians again, Joshua. Right? Joshua chapter 18. I'm going to read for you in verse 4. I really had a great time when the Lord showed me this. Because if there was a prophet in these last days, and that prophet was commissioned by God to reveal seven mysteries, because there's seven seal mysteries sealed the whole Bible. So do you believe that was a scriptural thing? Absolutely. What kind of question is that, Brother Matthew? I've been in a message for 50 years. Of course it was scriptural. I'm trying to make a point. If that is scriptural, then it would be foreshadowed in the scripture. Is that right? The opening of the word. I showed you this. We preached this morning about how Adam was a type of Christ, right? Well, what happened to Adam? He was put to sleep. God opened up his side and out came a bride. And there was a bride age right there in the Garden of Eden. Right? So when they put Jesus Christ to death on the cross, they pierced his side, Brother Mike. Water and blood came out. Jesus gave forth the elements to give forth birth to an alpha bride. And the alpha bride was there so situated so perfectly under the headship of Christ. The Bible said great grace was upon them all. Is that right? Do you know what the earmark or the defining characteristic of that early church was? Jesus himself leading the people. Not a doctrine or idea or council of people or a group of preachers. It was Jesus Christ himself. The headship over the church is literally Christ's own presence.
Amen. Glory.
That was the apostolic age. Right? Didn't the Bible say no man dared join himself unto them? Because it was the Lord that added daily to the church such as should be saved. But what do we got today? Any old scallywag can walk through those doors and sit in this pew and say, I believe Malachi 4. Right? Because the churches in these last days are the true bride, like I said, is scattered around the world, the true elect. They're not together like they was then. That was the very beginning of the alpha bride. Right? So whenever they opened the side of Jesus, it gave birth to the alpha bride. So there was a sealed up mystery in Adam, and there's a sealed up mystery in Jesus. But the Bible is a whole canon of scripture, and Brother Branham says, when you read a verse of scripture and don't see Jesus, go back and read it again. So what is this book a testament to? Who's it speaking of? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. But this was sealed. Like Adam was sealed. Adam dwelt alone. Jesus was sealed. Jesus dwelt alone. But when they got tore open, out comes their bride. Right? So in these last days, after the seventh church age messenger is given the revelation of the seven seals, what comes out? Yeah, Jesus in the form of his bride. Huh? That's right. The bride age comes after the seventh church age messenger. Because it took the opening of the seals to call the elect out. So now it's not prophet, prophet, prophet. It's Christ and the bride, Christ and the bride, Christ and the bride. It's not Abraham sent Eleazar, Abraham sent Eleazar. It is Rebekah is in marriage union with Isaac. Right? The bride doesn't need to be told, press play, press play. God sent a prophet. She already knows that. One of the biggest problems with people today is they can't retain. They can't seem to retain things. Right? You tell somebody something and 5 minutes later you got to tell it to them again. The Holy Spirit helps you retain the word. Right? I'm talking spiritual, brother. Don't worry about it. My wife's got to tell me 3 times, brother. Sometimes 4 or 5. I'm talking about the word. You can probably remember the scripture better than you can remember anything somebody told you the day before. Amen. That word is powerful and it anchors in our souls. Is that right? So I got you in Joshua 18. They turned the screen off on me. Oh Lord. Joshua 18, 4 and 5. Give out from among you 3 men for each tribe. And I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them. And they shall come again to me, and they shall divide it into 7 parts. Right? Divide what into 7 parts? The land. And then Judah shall abide in their coast on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coast in the north. Okay? And when you read on down through Joshua 18, Joshua told them to record this land in a book. Okay? Describe the land into 7 parts and bring the description hither to me that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. Right. Now what they did was, and what I'm showing you, he took 3 men out of 7 tribes because there are 7 tribes remaining to be placed in the land. So Joshua, by inspiration, caused 3 men out of those tribes. You got your 3 and 7, right? Because God's mathematics of revealing his word is 3s and 7s. This is typifying or foreshadowing the whole Bible being revealed. Because this 7-part book is what they brought back to Joshua. Joshua stood in the doorway of the temple in Shiloh, cast lots, and rightly divided the 7-part book so the 7 remaining tribes can know their place and know their position in the land of inheritance. But I want you to show you in Joshua 18, he's using a book to do it. And he's using a 7-part book. And our prophet in these last days took the Bible that was sealed with 7 seals and revealed the mystery of the book and opened it up so the end time bride can know her place and her position. It took the book to do it. It took the opening of the book to reveal it. Is that right? So we see our place in God's plan of redemption. So I'm just showing you this principle here of God's mathematics of revealing his word. You see that? 3s and 7s. Now, how many remembers how many feasts God ordained for Israel to observe? 7. Passover, right? Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, then Pentecost. And that's all in the summertime, and the last one's like touching on the spring. And then you come on over to the seventh month, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, then Feast of Tabernacles.
That's right?
Right?
Amen.
All three of the last feasts are in the seventh month.
That's right. Amen.
Three and seven, right? So you have this going on and on. There's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Raha, Jehovah Sitkanu, Jehovah Shammah. Seven compound redemptive names all pointing to Jesus Christ. But those seven Jehovahs are speaking of Lord Jesus Christ, right? So it's really fantastic. Just that one statement is what I'm trying to share with you. Because Brother Branham says your soul, spirit, and body, and your life is renewed every 7 years. Brother Branham taught us there's seven dimensions, but there's three heavens. Right? So Brother Bob's been recently ministering on the furniture in the tabernacle. There's seven pieces of furniture, but there's three courts, outer court, inner court, and Holy of Holies. Right? And Brother Branham taught us that Moses set it up that way because it all speaks of Christ. The furniture speaks of Christ. The tabernacle speaks of Christ. Everything speaks of Christ. Well, it's all situated by a three and a seven. Because God's mathematics of revealing His Word is threes and sevens. Now bring up Amos, the scripture I got there, brother. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. It's just like, you know, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. Amos 3, 7. Right there. So God's mathematics of revealing His Word is threes and sevens. And you can see three and seven all over Brother Branham's life and ministry. Three pulls, seven seals. Right? Not that you necessarily need the message to be vindicated to you, but it sure is fun. Sure is fun to already know you're right about what you're right about. Amen. So even the seals were formatted. There's 10 sermons preaching seven seals, right? When he preached the church ages, he preached 10 sermons for seven church ages. So there's three sermons added to the seven church ages, right? In 1960, he preached Revelation of Jesus Christ in a Patmos vision. That's just like God, High in Simplicity in the Breach. Then he preached the first church age, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth church age. And in between the sixth church age and seventh church age, he preached 10 virgins and 144,000. Well, that's Revelations chapter 7. Because the 10 virgins and 144,000 are in Revelations chapter 7. Right? So he, Brother Branham, even put an interval between his sermons, just like it's formatted, in the scripture. And here's the seven church ages right here. Right, there's 10 virgins in the seven church age. It's formatted exactly like the seals. So it's seven seals with three sermons added to it. Seven church ages with three sermons added to it. Alright? It's threes and sevens. Amen? Okay, what's the point, Brother Matthew? Even the way he preached the sermons is scriptural. Right? Even the way they're formatted. Because even the way the Bible's broke down chapter and verse is inspired. People used to argue with that. Come on, Brother Matthew, even chapter and verse. That's why Isaiah's 66 chapters represent 66 books of the Bible. It's all there for a reason. Amen. I believe it from kiver to kiver. Chapter, verse, every line. And Brother Branham said there's more in between the lines than what's on the line. And that love affair lets you see what's in between the lines. Amen.
Amen.
So you can just go on and on. Is this a vindicated message?
Amen.
Amen. Threes and sevens, my friends. It's really a fantastic reality. The seven pieces of furniture, the seven feasts, seven dimensions and three heavens, right? And the whole Bible just being sealed with seven seals and a threefold mystery. The revelation of Jesus Christ in these last days has been perfectly laid out for an end time bride.
Amen.
So that she can recognize her place and her position in God's plan of redemption.
Amen.
All right. So bring up for me, if you don't mind, Joshua chapter 19, verse 51. In this verse right here, it's whenever they make an end of dividing the land. Now just remember, Matthew chapter 24, 51 verses. Genesis chapter 24, verse 51, it's about a bride being taken out. One morning, Brother Dale, I was waking up and I heard as clear as a bell in my heart. When saints awaken, there'll be no faking, for it's been spoken, those with the token will be taken. Because this is an age where Brother Branham says there will just be an absence of people. And it's not to scare you, it should rejoice the heart of a real believer. But that man came to Brother Branham and says, Brother Branham, you scared the people talking about the coming of the Lord. Brother Branham said, what people? Not God's people. The coming of the Lord should be the greatest rejoiceful thing that you could even think about. That's right. The sweet Lord Jesus coming to catch you away. That's how intimate you must be with the Lord. Not like, well, I want to make some more money, or I just want to see my business grow, or I want to see this, I want to see that. You want to see that more than you want to see Jesus, you got issues. That's true. This verse is where, so they made an end of dividing the country. Is the word of God rightly divided? Is the bride divided from the church in these last days? This is why I'm trying to share with you how the bride's been separated out. The bride's been divided. And we've been taught how we must rightly divide the word. A workman that needeth not be ashamed. Is that right? Rightly dividing the word is understanding the distinction between bride and church. Because the bride is the living word. Like Jesus Christ is a living word. Right? Rightly dividing the word. So they rightly divided the land according to their inheritance. So that's a type of what's happened these last days by the opening of the seven seals. The true bride of Christ knows her place and knows her position. Is that right, Brother Luis? So, Exodus 12:51. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land. Israel was separated from Egypt. It's just a principle of separation I'm sharing with you now. Okay? Now, go with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Guess what verse? 51. All right? And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. And it came to pass when he should be received up. Right? He was parted from, received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Okay? Now, this is an interesting thing right here, because when you read on down through the passage, they did not actually let him come to that village, because he sent messengers before him, and it was the two sons of thunder, John and James. And whenever they wouldn't receive him, he said, Lord, you want us to call fire down out of heaven like Elijah did? You remember that? Well, I want you to notice in this verse 51, and it came to pass when he should be received up. What does that mean? He'll be taken to glory. Okay, he's going to be separated from his disciples. Okay? But he sends them into the city of the Samaritans. It was the village of Samaritans. But when they found out he was going to go to Jerusalem, they said, no, never mind, we don't want you to come. Because there was sectarianism between Samaritans and Jews. Remember the conversation Jesus had with the woman at the well? He said that that we worship God in this mountain because of our father Jacob. But the Jews say in Jerusalem is where you ought to worship. I think that kind of thing still exists with people today. Brother Branham taught us the only place God accepts worship is in Christ. The only place God will meet you is in Christ. What did Jesus tell her? You know not what you worship, but salvation is of the Jews. For the Father seeks those that worship him to worship him in spirit and in truth. Not in Jerusalem, nor in this mountain. Is that right? So the place of worship was an issue with these Samaritans. They wouldn't even let Jesus come there because he was on his way to Jerusalem. So because of their religiosity, they were like, no, no thanks. Isn't that strange? So James and John said, Lord, you want us to call fire out of heaven on them?
That's good.
And he says, no, the Son of Man didn't come to take life but to save.
Right. Come on, brother.
But I want you to see a correlation now, because I'm a Bible reader.
Come on now.
I see verse 51, when it came time for him to receive up. Remember when that king fell through the lattice and he was sending two men to go inquire of a false god Baal? Elijah met him on the road, says, what you doing? Is there not a God in Israel? And he sent them back, and they went back and told the king, and the king said, what'd he look like? And they described what Elijah looked like, and the king perceived that it was Elijah.
Yeah, right.
So Elijah sent a captain with his 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody know how many that is? That king sent 51 men to go call Elijah off that mountain. And what did Elijah do? Call fire down out of heaven on 51 men. Say, Brother Matthew, what does all that mean? It means rapture. It means separation. Because immediately after Elijah called that fire down, he was translated. And immediately after the third pole finishes up in the bride, she'll be gone. Do you understand? Elijah called fire down on a captain with his 50. Then he sent a second set of men, a captain with his 50. Then that king sent a third group. Right? And then the angel of the Lord came to Elijah and said, Elijah, spare these. Right? So 51, 51, 51. And here in Luke 9:51, when it came time for Jesus to be caught up, you got James and John wanting to call fire down. So there's a correlation and association here that I recognize that's really profound to my heart. Because whenever it comes time for us to translate and everything like this, there'll be that kind of ministry like Elijah had when he called fire down. Is that right? And of course that anointing will go be with two prophets and they smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. But that kind of manifestation is associated with translation. Translation grace, rapturing faith. Do you understand? Okay, so if you go to the last chapter of Luke, look at verse 51 with me. Luke chapter 24 and verse 51. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them. Right? Again, another verse 51 where he's parted from them. Okay? Now go with me back to Luke because I actually want to go back to Luke 12 where I really wanted to finish up. I'm so sorry for being like, you know, buckshot over here. I do get scattered about. All right. Thanks for your forgiveness. You in the business of forgiveness?
Yeah.
All right. I'm so glad you are. Let's look at verse 54 in Luke 12. Okay. That's where we want to be. Huh? Now we read that one already. We want verse 54 because that's the 5-in-1 house. Did you catch what I was saying there? How many was in Rebecca's house? Eleazar, Rebecca, Bethuel, Laban, and Rebecca's mom. Eleazar and Rebecca's two. And those other three, they got separated. Because when Eleazar got done with his ministry, Rebecca was out of there. And then he led Rebecca to Isaac. Isn't that what the prophet fulfilled? Have you been in marriage union with Christ? Now it's you and Jesus. That's right. But what about the prophet? The prophet fulfilled his part. Everybody here loves Brother Branham. We're not putting him in a bad light. But we love Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the one that called us out through Brother Branham.
Amen.
That's right. So right here it says, and he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the east, when you see a cloud rise out of the south, when you see a cloud rise out of the north, when you see a cloud rise out of, what happened out in west? Arizona sky. Did a cloud rise? Huh? Now notice what Jesus is talking about in verse 51. Think not that I'm come. He said, think not that I am come to bring peace, but division. The cloud appears in the west and straightway you say there cometh a shower. What kind of shower did that bring cloud? That cloud bring? A form of rain. Is that right? It brought a form of rain. Let's read a little bit more. It says here, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say there shall be heat, and it cometh to pass. You hypocrites, you can discern the... Oh my. Boy, scripture is really something with this message, ain't it? You got a cloud rising out of the west. You got Jesus talking about a face. You got him talking about, I am come to bring division. And the bride's been separated, folks. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Amen.
You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you not discern this time?
Amen.
The Lord Jesus was rebuking them for not recognizing the vindicated word for the hour.
Amen.
Now everybody recognizes God sent a prophet and the Lord took Brother Branham home in 1965, but what has God been doing from 65 to 2019?
Amen.
Does it draw a blank, or do you know what part of the Bible you're in? Do you know what part of the scripture you're living in? That's the thing. Eternal life is recognizing the word made manifest and God interpreting the word for your hour. Not what has been, what is. Present truth. Is that right? It doesn't take much revelation now to say God sent a prophet. Everybody can see vindication. It don't take half a brain to see vindication. But it takes the Holy Ghost revelation to see real revelation, right?
Amen.
So do you not understand how Jesus rebuked the people of his day for not recognizing he was actually scripture made manifest?
Yes.
What about the scriptures now?
Amen.
What part of the scriptures being made manifest?
Amen.
It's Revelations 10, 8 to 11. Because God has already vindicated Revelations 10, 1 to 7. The Lord Jesus has already descended with a shout. Young people, Christ has already come forth to call his bride. He has descended with a shout. That's why we got what we got. Christ's personal presence is now leading the bride to the marriage supper. That's right. Is that the truth? So let's just go on a little bit here. I think we can see some more sermons of the prophet right in these passages. The face in the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you not discern this time? What is this time? This is the time where the bride's completely matured and perfected. And then taken to the marriage supper. Because I guarantee you that there is 144,000 Israelites over there right now yearning, agonizing for the fulfillment of what's calling in their heart. Because the deep calls to the deep. And if there's a deep calling, there's got to be a deep to respond. And Christ is going to have two prophets minister the word in such a way that those 144,000 will come out, sister, and they will be distinct. They will be defined. Because right now, you don't know who they are. But you, if you was here, but God forbid that you would be here. But just imagine if you could, if God would let you look down over the banister of heaven. And the two prophets are on earth ministering, you would be able to see who the 144,000 are. Because their response to the message would tell on them. The way they believe it, the way they take to it, the way that it has an effect on them. Because they're predestinated to it. Is that the right? Is that right? So he says in verse 57, yea, and why even of your own selves judge, he even mentions judge. White wig. Right? Even though yourselves judge ye not what is right. When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, he moved it on me. As thou art in the way, give diligence that thou, he moved it again. Thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge. Yeah, and the judge deliver thee to the officer. Officer! The prophet brought an indictment. The judge, Jesus Christ, the white wig. Right? And then what? Souls that are in prison now. The Lord Jesus had it just right, didn't he? Man, that Bible is really something when you got the message to go with it. That was wrote 1900, 2000 years ago. Then these last days, a cloud appears in the west. It's the white wig. Jesus Christ has convened court. He's got an officer on earth to identify what's happening in the Bible. And then he indicts the generation for the second crucifixion of the Son of Man, Son of God, right? And the church world has crucified the Son of God to themselves afresh. They've been indicted because Christ has convened court. So there's people in prison. When you go to Walmart, you're looking at people that are in prison. Because if they don't know Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection and are illuminated to the present tense reality of Christ, you can't be nowhere else but in prison. You have to be conscious of what Christ is doing today, the present truth, and be established in it. Not only has God sent a prophet, but what you got after that? I'm trying to show you continuity. What has occurred? What, are you conscious enough to walk in the reality of what has transpired between the Gentile prophet and two Hebrew prophets? It's Revelations 10, 8 to 11. Brother Branham is a Gentile prophet. Moses and Elijah will be two Hebrew prophets. But there's scripture in between there. Right? Brother Branham taught me to be this way. Everything has to be scriptural. Everything has to be tied to the scripture. Brother Branham seen a vision. I see a vision, but I always look for it in the Bible. Right? So on and on it goes. If you got a doctrine, if you got a revelation, you better be able to preach it from the whole Bible. Now, this is what I'm into. I like to be able to take it through the whole Bible. See it all over the place. Amen. You believe that there's an end time bride here? Friends, we need to stop looking at church and just look at the promise of God's word. Because of God's words, our Lord God said that there'd be a church here, a sin-free church. Without spot, without wrinkle. People who totally overcome themselves. People that totally overcome carnality. People that overcome sin, death, hell, the grave, Satan's Eden, the ecumenical movement, everything. The end time bride is so inoculated against sin, she can't even die. That's the kind of people we're talking about here. Amen. What's the wages of sin? Can you attribute sin to the bride?
No.
Brother Branham said there's no fault in her. The end time bride is the Omega bride. The prophecy of the Bible says the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former. Those precious saints, we're no more elected than they are, but the difference is this is the age God promised to make these things vindicated. So if they're in that age and the Omega bride saints drifted into Ephesus, where's this bride going to go? She's going to the marriage supper of the Lamb because there's no other scripture that declares anything else. It is so helpful to your faith to examine the word and see type, shadow, allegory, the prophetic revelation of the Bible to see exactly how what has all been made up to and where you're walking right now. Because God can't change this word. What did Ephesians, what did that word in Ecclesiastes say? I'd like to read that again. Check this out. All that has been is, right? He says that which has been is now. And that which is hath been already. Hath already been. Right? So it's very simple, young people. This is not hard. If you understand type and shadow. Listen, young people, listen. Isaac, you've heard Brother Ram say, and teach that Isaac is a perfect type of Christ, right? Well, whenever Abraham was told by the Lord to offer his son Isaac up on a mountain that he would show him, Abraham packed the wood on the back of Isaac and Isaac carried the wood up the hill. That was the Lord Jesus. He was betraying Jesus carrying the cross up the hill. Brother Branham tells us, and history tells us, the very hill that Isaac went up is the very hill Jesus was crucified on. That's not hard, folks. It's typology. It's prophetic foreshadowing of a great thing God would fulfill. If God did that then he brought it to pass in the days of Jesus. He does it now. The Lord spoke seven squirrels into existence through the prophet's lips. Then Brother Branham says that was God commissioning for me to do something. That was God's commission to me. He was commissioned to reveal seven thunders, seven seal mysteries. So whenever the seven squirrels were spoken into existence, that type, the seven mysteries being spoken. Because the seventh squirrel was hit a little bit deeper than the other six. And the seventh squirrel was underneath a piece of bark and a leaf. The bark represents the doctrine of holiness, the Wesleyan age, and the leaf represents the Pentecostal age. Then after that comes the meat of the word. Are you eating that meat? Are you feeding on that? And Brother Branham said, immediately after the seven squirrels, Hattie was told to speak. And what does a woman represent? Church. Bride. Hattie represents the bride being brought into speaking conditions after the seven church age messenger speaks seven mysteries. Then you got a bride. That's the way it's been patterned in the Bible. Right? So all that has been is now. Right? And all that hath already been, right? Or, and that which is to be hath already been. Amen. Everything that you have right now in your present hour, you can see it back in the Bible. Everything's been foreshadowed. Right? Three kinds of believers. All three of those kinds of believers have been foreshadowed in the Bible. Amen. So I just want to encourage you to seek the Lord for a clear understanding of your present hour. Because you know what's happened to a lot of people. Their faith stopped in 1965. They have not went on. They're scared to death to read the next verse after Revelation 10:7. John represents the bride.
Amen.
The bride's supposed to take the seven sealed open book and eat it. And then become the final voice to the final age.
Amen.
That's exactly what Brother Branham said in the Church Age book.
Amen.
He said the voice of God would be in her.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Ooh, I wonder if I should read this quote. There is a statement in the Church Age book where Brother Branham said this image would try to stop the bride from teaching and preaching. Right? Now we know not everybody's qualified to preach. Brother Branham said if you ain't met the pillar of fire face to face, you ain't got no business in the pulpit. If you don't know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection, what are you doing handling the word? But you know what happens? People get enthused because they hear a vindicated prophet preach and they get all excited and then they think they can take a pulpit. That's way too many people. We've already seen people be raised in a message, pastor a church, and then claim the cloud was by a Thor missile from the U.S. Army. How in the world did that man get in a pulpit? Where's the discernment? When Brother Branham taught us them early apostles discern their preachers, they discern their apostles. You know what the problem is? I'll just flat out say it, and then I'm going to get out of this pulpit. The people with the genuine Holy Ghost are far and few between. The real elect is fear not little flock. So we have to kind of just walk in love. Amen. Walk in love. Well, friends, I hope that I have whetted your appetite to study, to dig, to really take the prophet's message back to the Bible, meditate in scripture. Amen. Revelation is for young people. It's for old people. It's for middle-aged people because it's the Holy Spirit that imparts it. Amen. So God bless your precious hearts. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Give him praise. Hallelujah. Well, thank you so much. I know sometimes we just kind of rush in town, you know, and we're kind of limited and I feel a little strained, you know, probably not as relaxed as I should be. And I apologize for that, but, it's my fault. Yep. But it's just, you know, we got to run back to Mobile and get back into the saddle there and everything. But it's been a wonderful privilege to be with you. Always an honor to fellowship with my precious elder brother, our pastor here. And God bless Brother Wade. I appreciate him coming down and sharing the love of Christ with us in Mobile. And him and Sister June opening the house and all y'all's attention to the word. God bless you. Precious Brother Bob. I think I see Bob, Brother Bob's dad and mom. God bless him so much. Good to see y'all. So happy to see you. It's been a long time. Where y'all been? God bless you. Praise the Lord. Brother Luis, God bless him and his ministry. And Brother Aaron Roberts, Brother Bob, I believe they're going down to Jacksonville, Florida. Amen. God bless them people there. There is children of God scattered everywhere. And we should pray for the bride because she has to come to that place of absolute maturity. And don't never get caught up in sectarianism and churchianity and this group and that group and the groups because it's an individual affair. Always remember that, friend. It's an individual affair. You are an individual before God. It's your responsibility. I don't mean to keep on, but somebody literally looked me in the face and told me, I would be a Christian if it wasn't for my husband. He's so mean. How in the world are you going to say that before God on the day of judgment? I can't be a Christian because of my husband? Huh? That's not going to work, friend. You can't blame somebody else for you not being a Christian. It doesn't work. I'd be a Christian if it wasn't for that mean old church up there. That doesn't work. The Christian is an ordained affair anyway. God calls you to be a Christian. Do you think somebody, some other mortal can cancel out your election? No chance. No way. You think God works his business like some haphazard thing? He hopes he can save you in the end? God's really just trying really hard, hoping that you'll just cross that finish line. You know the truth, friend. If you cross that finish line at all, you cross before the foundation of the world. God's already got it fixed up. All you got to do is walk with him. Enoch walked with God and he was found not. Brother Branham was in the Coronado Forest and God says, why don't you walk with me for a while?
Right.
And when he was walking with God, he felt his hair come back.
Yep.
He felt young. And Mita grabbed his arm. He was walking with Mita in the wilderness.
Yep.
He was turned back young. And what was he doing? Walking with God.
Right. Right.
Walking with God.
Right.
That's where you got to go, friend.
Right.
Personal.
Right.
Intimate.
Right.
Reality.
Right.
Not you and your spouse and your kids and your church and your neighborhood. Just you.
Right.
I'm sorry, but I have to say it that blunt for people to get it.
Right.
You and Jesus. That's all. But I want my wife to go in a rapture. That's between her and Jesus. Jesus is the one taking her in a rapture, not you. Her association with you does not put her in a rapture. Get that straight. Your association with a pastor, your association with a church, you can love Brother Branham and miss the rapture. You have to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. Okay, let me say it like this. Who is it that gives the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Only Jesus Christ. So who do you got to talk to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? That's right. Ask and it shall be given is what the Bible says. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that? Ask Him. Ask Him. Why do people always try to qualify their Christianity to other people? What do you get out of other people believing you're a Christian? You want God to recognize you're a Christian.
Amen.
And then God will give you the honor and the notoriety from heaven.
Amen.
That's what you should be seeking for.
Amen.
Not to be noticed by other flesh and blood people. You can live a life of faith and be noticed by heaven. That's what the angel told Daniel. Daniel, since the day you started praying, we started making our way to you. Daniel, you are greatly beloved from up there. That's the way you want to be, friend. Because all that live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. And I'm not adding to the scripture, but most likely they will suffer persecution by other people who profess to be living with Christ. Huh? But that's the way it is. So do you understand? I know I shared a lot of technical things with you, but it's really profound the way the message has opened the Bible. And we see a bride going into the marriage supper. We see it all patterned out for us in shout, voice, trump. The Lord Jesus descends from heaven. And he has been here on the earth in word form. In the form of the Holy Ghost. Anointing an end time bride. Moving in individuals. People are clamoring for a move of God. They want to see a revival. And their prophet told them all kinds of ways he could. Yes. Revival is over.
Yes.
There is no more moves.
No.
Don't look for no big thing.
Right.
Now it's just going to be an absence of people.
That's right.
I'm sorry, but that's the way it is.
Amen.
Did you know Brother Branham taught after God discerned Sarah's heart in the tent, then their bodies turned back young again? That's all you get between the prophet's gift of discernment and then the body change. That's it. What you've been looking for? A worldwide revival? You looking for the United States to have a revival? The church world's having an ecumenical revival. You want to hook up with that? God have mercy. There's no other revival but the only revival you can have in your soul with Jesus. You and Jesus. You're supposed to be able to pray through and enter into the presence of God. Brother Branham says, I get alone and I can hold my mind with a power in prayer that reaches beyond the moon, the stars, and gets a hold of God somewhere. That's how every single one of you is supposed to be. To be able to get a hold of God. That's right. Let me get out of this pulpit before I get on. God bless you all so much. We love the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Appreciate you letting me share with you. It's been an honor. God bless you so much. Amen.
Say amen. Amen and amen. Because it's all in Him, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Enjoy the message.
Amen.
Let's give our brother a good one. Come and let's see now if he lives. We're missing a couple.
Oh,
yeah. Joe. That's
there he is.
That's thing there.
Let's sing There's Power in the Blood on page 137.
Amen.
Would you be free from your burden of sin?
There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Would you believe it? Pray, bend, and shake. There's one. Anybody have a name? See if he's still the same. How about it? God lives. Him, light in the blood. Okay, go ahead. One more and then we'll go.
Let's sing What a Mighty God We Serve.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God we serve. Sing it to them. Tell them they're the God. Tell them that there is a mighty God that we serve. Heaven and earth and glory. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Now just raise your hand to Him. Sing to Him. Angels bow before. What a mighty God. One more time before we go. make sure you tell our brother how much we appreciate him. Appreciate him coming and fellowshipping with us and ever bringing his family and all of them coming down and fellowshipping. And we appreciate that. And he's always open to where he can come back and minister to us and have a good time in the Lord because we believe in it, right? We just tell him how much you appreciate him because we do that. Amen. Any other announcements? Let's see. Wade's going to be gone this coming weekend. All right. Then the third Saturday will be the fellowship meeting at Brother Longora's. So remember that. All right. There's something else in there I'm forgetting. I got another announcement, sister. Okay. Right. There you go. It'll all be taken care of. Anything else? Father, we thank you for an opportunity of being out today, and thank you for our brother coming and fellowshipping with us and delivering his heart unto us. We pray that you would bless him and take care of him, give him a safe journey home as they travel on and things, Lord, and just let your love and grace be with each one. Remember the sick ones among us, Lord, Lisa and Abby and Anna and all of them, Lord, different ones, Sister Esther, different ones that are sick, Lord, and this old flus and old bugs that's coming around. We condemn them under the blood of Jesus Christ and forbid them to affect the people, and let your loving grace be with each one. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Some glad morning when this life is over.